Hi, I'm Andrew Connell. In this screencast, we're going to talk about a deep dive into Office Excel add-ins. Before we begin, let's look at the developer vision for the Office 365 development. It boils down to both users and data. What do I mean by users? Users want to be able to work with their devices and interact with all of their information using custom applications or some of the applications that have been provided by Microsoft, such as the Office clients as Word, Excel, Outlook, and PowerPoint, as well as custom applications that developers build. They want to work with them in a familiar environment with familiar user interfaces. For developers, we want to be able to build custom applications using a multitude of different platforms, from working in a mobile experience to working off a server-side product, something that's working on the desktop, or even just a standard web page. We want to be able to get to all of our data and provide these really good experiences for our users. We'll first start with an introduction to Excel add-ins. Then we'll dive into developing Excel add-ins, reading and writing with documents, document bindings, and some changes that were introduced in Excel 2016. An Office add-in can be seen as a web page loaded inside of an Office application. In some cases, it will appear embedded in line within the document. In other cases, it might appear as a task pane or within a message in Outlook. Note that the architecture for Office add-ins has been designed to work in both Office applications and Office web applications. Office add-ins allow Office applications to be extended in such a way so that they can leverage web technologies such as HTML5 and CSS for rendering user interfaces, as well as JavaScript and jQuery to add behavior. When you write the JavaScript code for an Office add-in, you can call the REST APIs, such as those added to SharePoint 2013 to retrieve and update data from across the network. When you begin to design an app, you must pick one of three different shapes. You can create a document-based add-in as either a task pane add-in or a content add-in. Alternatively, you can create a mail add-in that targets Outlook and Outlook Web Access. Every add-in for Office must be distributed with an XML-based manifest file, which contains information about the add-in itself. For example, the add-in manifest contains an address to a web page on the internet which is used to load the add-in. The add-in manifest also includes information which indicates which Office applications it supports. The app manifest also defines the required capabilities which represent the set of permissions that the add-in needs to run in order to complete its work. There are two basic styles or shapes for creating an Office add-in. A task pane add-in is positioned to the right of the document in a style that is familiar to the experience of typical Office users. A task pane add-in is typically used to assist a user working with a specific document. For example, a task pane add-in can be designed to search and retrieve content from the internet that can be inserted into a document. A content add-in is designed to add its content in line into a position within a current document. Note that content add-ins are only supported into Excel so that the document is always an Excel workbook. The content add-in must also be a specific worksheet within the document. The content add-in can read and write contents to cells within the same workbook. For Office 2013 web applications, the Office add-in components are hosted inside of an iframe. Office add-in component support is enabled in the web apps. Let me start this slide over. For Office 2013 web apps, Office add-in components are hosted within an iframe. Office add-in component support is enabled in the web apps by the integration of the Office JavaScript library that, in a similar fashion to the rich client applications, manages the add-in component lifecycle and interop between the add-in component and the web app, which for the browser requires a special cross-frame communication infrastructure. The same Office JavaScript library used in rich clients supports the APIs available to the add-in component code to interact with the web app. Now let's switch to talk about how we can develop Office add-ins with Excel. This slide is fairly self-explanatory and demonstrates how easy it is to create and test your first add-in for Office using Visual Studio. First, you'll create a new project using one of the project templates in Visual Studio, and then you'll create the user interface for the add-in using HTML5 and CSS. After that, you add behavior to the app by writing JavaScript. Finally, you'll update the XML file, which serves as the add-in manifest. And after that, you can press the F5 key to test and debug your add-in. Visual Studio has a new project template for add-ins for Office. These project types give you a starter project with a web page and a manifest. You must first choose the add-in shape and then which Office applications are going to be supported by your add-in. This slide shows the structure of an add-in for a task pane add-in created with Visual Studio. On the top, you see a project called Loan Appraiser, and that's where the manifest is going to live. The bottom is the web project or the remote web, and that's where the add-in is actually going to live. That's the part that's going to actually run your application. This slide is showing you the designer for the add-in manifest. Here you can see where you can set things like the display name, the type, the version, the provider, description, icon, etc. You can also see a code view version of this if you right-click on the manifest and say View Code. And then you can see the actual XML for the actual manifest itself. The last thing to think about is how much permissions an add-in needs to complete its work. You should try to limit the requested permissions to the absolute minimum. It's a design mistake to require more permissions than your add-in really needs. Here's a breakdown of the available permission levels you can request in the requested capabilities element inside the add-in manifest. The restricted permission allows you to read and write document settings but provides no access to the content within the document itself. Read document allows read access to the document as well as read write access to the document settings and the ability to create bindings and register for document level events. Write document allows write access to the document at the current selection as well as read write access to document settings. However, the app cannot read any contents of the document itself. Read-write permission provides the combined permissions of read document and write document together. And full access provides all the permissions of read-write document plus the right to use other web technologies such as Silverlight or Flash within the add-in. One thing you're probably going to want to do is to create a test document that you can test your add-in within. What you'll do is add a document to the add-in project and then right-click the Start Document setting on the property for the manifest and select the document that you want to test your application within. Office 2013 provides a common JavaScript API for developing document-based add-ins. This API provides a common set of objects used to read and write content to and from the document. The common API is also used to create bindings and event handlers. Note that with Office 2013, the common API is only used across Word and Excel, but there are plans to expand the common API and have it used by additional Office applications in later versions. The Office JavaScript object model provides a top-level document named Office with a context property, which provides your entry point into the API. The context property provides three properties, which expose the following objects. The office.context.document property provides access to the current document. The settings property provides access to a custom property bag allowing the developer to save and retrieve custom property settings. And the application object provides access to the entry points for app-specific APIs, such as the APIs used to program against Microsoft Project and Outlook. Now let's take a look at a demo for creating an Office add-in targeting Excel. In this demo, let's take a look at a very simple Excel add-in. So this is a task pane add-in. What we have here at the top is we have our manifest project. So if I open this up, we'll see we have an add-in that's been called My Excel App. Another one here, we have the description set for My Excel App. And the source location or the start page for our app is in the My Excel web /app/home/home HTML. Now the way we created this was if I went to my solution, and I said I want to add a new project. I have an option here for App for Office. So when I added that, that's what created this manifest project and this web project a little bit lower. And we'll just pin this settings over here to the edge. There we go. Now, we also have this book1.xlsx, and that's our sample project, sample workbook that we'll use for testing. I then have this web project. Now, the web project has a property set up to where we have SSL enabled and the SSL URL is 44321. You have to set it up to for SSL because Office apps or Office add-ins will only be loaded from websites that are located at HTTPS. So if I go back over to my project and I select the actual manifest and I look at the properties for him, you see that I've set up the start action is the Outlook Office desktop client. You see I have other options here for starting it up in a browser as well if I want to test the web app instance of this. A little bit farther down, I have a start document, and this is where I'm going to use the sample workbook for testing. So if we go look at the code for this project, what you'll see here is inside of my app folder, we have this app.js, and then we have our home project. So if I look at home.html, which is where the bulk of my application is, it's a standard HTML web page. The things to take note of here is that you see that we have a reference here to the office.js file that's hosted by Microsoft. So it's recommended that you use the one that Microsoft hosts and not a local copy, because Microsoft is always updating Office.js for performance tweaks and other improvements. We also have a reference to app.css and app.js. We'll look at those in just a moment. And then we have the actual logic here for our page. So we see here we have a div that's just a little content heading at the top. And then we also have another div here for the main part of our page where we have a div set up with a class of padding and a button for get data from selection. So let's jump over and look at app.js. What does he do? So this is a default file that you get in every Excel add-in. So this one here, you see that I'm creating an instance of the app. I'm doing this using a immediately invoking function to keep my variables out of the global scope, which is a good practice with JavaScript and client-side development. So I'm going to create an instance of my app, and then I'm going to call app.initialize. So this app.initialize, what he's going to do is say that when you call this function initialize, it's going to append to the body of the page that we're on this div down here, this notification message. And we'll see how that shows up in just a minute. Now, the classes and the styling of that is all defined in CSS. We're not going to look at that because it's just standard CSS for layout. We then are going to come a little farther down and have a function here called show notification on our app object that we can use to create messages inside of our notification. And then we'll return the app object back to the page. So what I want to do now is let's go look at the actual home.html. So we looked at this a second ago. Let's look at home.js and see the work that's actually happening here. So what I have is we're referencing our app.js file. Now the first thing you have to do is call office.initialize. Now what's happening here is that the office object is coming from the office.js. And there's a requirement that the initialize function is defined and called and completes within 5 seconds of the add-in being requested. And the reason for that is that when a user opens up one of the Office clients, either on the desktop or on a mobile device or in the web, Microsoft wants to make sure that the user doesn't think that the Office client is having a problem, and then it's the add-in if the add-in is the one that has the issue. And so if your add-in doesn't load within 5 seconds, you get a little error that says that the add-in is having trouble loading, click here to reload it. But it actually is distinguishing between the product that Microsoft provides, Office, and the thing that the custom developer is building, the add-in. So you have to call this function. So here I've created an instance of this function that's going to be called by Office. And I'm going to add a little jQuery function that says when the page has loaded, I'm going to call my app.initialize. And app.initialize, remember, that was defined in my app.js file. I'm then going to set up a click handler that looks at the button called get data from selection, and it's going to call this function that we see right here. And what this function is going to do is it's going to use office.context.document, and it's going to grab the selected data that I have in a cell. It's going to pull it out just as text, and then it's going to pass the results into this function. Now it's going to say, if we were able to actually pull the data back, then let's show a notification that says the selected text is whatever that is. So let's take a look, see this working. I'm going to come over here and click on the start button. Let everything load. So here we have Excel. So here we have our add-in loading over here on the right-hand side. So it says, welcome Andrew, and then get data from selection. Now the little notification should show up down here at the bottom is how our CSS is defined. So we'll just say, hello from my first add-in. And what we'll do is we'll select this cell, and then if I click this button, it should write the text out for my notification right down here at the very bottom. So it's pulling the text from here, and we can see that this isn't we're not fooling it by saying something like, hello from my second run. We do it again, and there we go. We get our second run right there. So this is just a demo of a very simple add-in that's just getting data from our document. Now let's look at how we can read and write to documents. All data access with Word and Excel workbooks start with the office.context.document object. It provides functions to read content from a document and write content to a document based on the current selection. The document object also provides the means to wire up event handlers to fire when the user changes the current selection. There are three primary data types that are supported when reading and writing data. Text is a data type that represents a single text value. Matrix is a data type that supports a static 2D array of rows and columns. And table is a data type that supports a dynamic 2D array with named columns and a set of rows where rows can be added and deleted. The function getSelectedDataAsync is used to read content from the selected region of the current document. Here you can see that it's going, any of the content that's actually selected with the cursor can be pulled back using the getSelectedDataAsync, and in this case we're using the coercion type of text. You should use the document's setSelectedDataAsync method to write content back to the document. When calling the selectTheDataAsync function, you will pass a callback function and use the async result parameter in this callback function to verify that the call was successful. You must determine how to pass data when calling setSelectedDataAsync. For a text shape, you can pass data as a string. For a matrix shape, you can pass data using the two-dimensional JavaScript array. For a table shape, you can pass the data using a special table data object, which can be created using the Office JavaScript API. Also note that with Word, you can also use two additional coercion types, such as HTML and OpenXML. There are a few tricks you should know about when dealing with matrix and table sizes when inserting data. If the user selected a single cell, a matrix or a table of any size can be written. However, if the user has selected a range with two or more cells, the matrix or table must be written to match the size of the target range exactly with respect to the number of rows and columns. The function setSelectedDataAsync is used to write content to the selected region of the current document. If there's no selected region, the content is added to the location of where the cursor is. There are five possible coercion types, and in some cases, it should be obvious whether you're going to use text, matrix, or table. HTML and OOXML, or OpenOffice XML, are advanced coercion types that are only supported in Word 2013 and not in Excel. This slide is showing us a little bit of code that's going to show how to work with both the coercion type of HTML and also for a matrix and a table coercion type. Now let's take a look at a demo for reading and writing document content. In the previous demo, we saw how to read content from an Excel document. So now let's see how we can write content to an Excel document. If I come over here and I take a look at our file again, we're going to be looking at home.html. And what this has, there's nothing really fancy to this one aside from just three buttons, one for add content hello world, add content matrix, and add content office table. So you're seeing three different ways of adding content to an Excel workbook. So what I'll do over here is come to home.js and let's see what this does. We're going to wire up three event handlers inside of our initialize function. So the first one is adding content hello world. The way that that's going to work is it's going to grab the selected data, or this, it's going to set selected data. And what that means is it's going to actually grab the selected cell that I have with the cursor, and it's going to call the function test for success once it succeeds, but it's going to write out the text, hello world. The next one is about creating a matrix. So here for a matrix, you see what I've created is a two-dimensional array. The first part of the array is going to be a row, and the second part is are the actual cells. So here I've got first name, last name. Those are the two columns. Bob White is column. Bob is in the first column. White's in the second column. Anaconda is the third one, and Max Headroom is the third one. So here we're going to go through and insert the matrix into our Excel document. So here I've set up select the data async, and this one the coercion type is going to be equal to a matrix. So there's the matrix that we're passing in, and you see I'm setting the coercion type equal to a matrix. The last one is for a table. So the table here, I will create a new office table. I'm setting the headers for my table being first name and last name, and then I'm setting the rows. So here's my first row. My rows are set up as a two-dimensional array. So there's my first row, here's my second row, and then here's my third row. And when I add him to the page or to the Excel document, I'm adding the table that I just defined, and the coercion type is equal to table. So let's see how this works. So when this one loads, if I click Hello World, we should see Hello World show up in cell A1. And sure enough, we do. If I then come over here and I add the matrix, I should see a two column table with a handful of rows added. And I do. I see first name, last name show up. And then if I add a table, we should see a table show up. Now remember, when we do formatting as a table, we get that nice headers and being able to sort columns and such. I should get the same thing when I click on office table. And sure enough, I do. There we go. We can actually filter things, and everything's set up like a nice HTML table. So you can see how easy it is to actually add content to your Excel document. Now let's talk about document bindings. Bindings are a valuable concept because they link an add-in to a specific section within a document. A binding can be created based on a current selection. A binding can also be defined using named items such as named range in Excel workbook or a bookmark in a Word document. A binding adds value by providing a named section that can be read from or written to regardless of what the current selection is. A binding also supports events that you can add an event handler that detects when the user has made a change to the content within a document binding. Bindings support three different data shapes. Text bindings are used for an individual cell in Excel or Word. Matrix bindings are used for a two-dimensional array representing rows and columns. And table bindings are used to support Excel tables with named columns and a set of rows that support insert and deletions by the user. Bindings are important because they make it so you can read and write to specific areas in a Word document without having to worry about what the selected region is. Bindings provide a scope, which allows an add-in to distinguish between a selection change or updates at the document level or just within a specific section of the document. Therefore, bindings can bridge the gap between office documents and the cloud. Bindings are also key in reading and writing and detecting changes made by the user. To add a binding, you should use one of the following methods. Use binding.addFromPromptSync, addFromSelectedAsync, or add from named item. You also are going to need to reference bindings to read and write content and register event handlers. When you need to reference a binding, you can use one of these methods. Bindings.getAllAsync, getByIDAsync, or office.select. In the case of when you need to remove a binding, you can use the method bindings.releaseByIDAsync. And to register an event handler on a binding, you can use the method binding.addHandlerAsync, passing in the type of a handler and then the handler function. The top code in this slide shows how to create bindings in JavaScript using the addFromNamedItemAsync. Note that the first parameter, first name, is used to indicate which content control you want to bind to. The third argument, first name, is used to create a binding that will be used to retrieve the binding when you call the office.select function. Note that the call to office.select gets the binding using a syntax of bindings pound followed by the ID of the registered binding. The code on this slide shows you how to register an event handler on a binding using the addHandlerAsync function. The call also registers a callback function named onBindingDataChanged, which is called automatically when the user updates the bound content. Let's now take a look at a demo for creating an add-in using bindings and event handlers. In this demo, I want to show you how to work with bindings. So in this case, I already have an Excel document that's been set up with a few bindings and name ranges inside of it. This one, if we take a look at the code, what we have in home.html are three buttons, one for creating bindings, one for setting the binding values, and one for listening for changes to the bindings. So if I look at the code in home.js, what are we going to see? In the initialize, I'm going to wire up three handlers, three click handlers for those three buttons that we created. For the first one, on creating the bindings, the way that this is going to work is I'm going to use the office.context.document.bindings and then adding a binding from a named item. So here, I have a named item called first name. So I'll have a named item inside of my document called first name. And I'm going to set the binding up as a text binding. You see here, I'm also defining an ID of the binding for first name. Now, these two are the exact same, but I could choose different names if I wanted. The first one here is the named range in the Excel document. The second one is the name I'm giving this binding. I'm doing the same thing for last name and company. Now, after I've created the bindings, I get a little notification here that says, hey, the bindings have been created. Now let's set the binding values when I click the second button. What I'm going to do is use office.select to grab a binding with the ID of first name. So remember, we set the first binding equal to a binding called first name. Once I've grabbed that, I'm then going to set the data async equal to Bob. So what that does is that this is going to set the data for the cell of the binding that I just created equal to Bob. Down at the bottom here, I'm doing the same thing for last name and company. And then lastly, I'm going to set up handlers to say grab that binding and add a handler async. And what that handler is going to do is it says that when the data changes for that binding, I want to call this function onBindingDataChanged. And all that's going to do is come down here and call this function that's going to show a notification that defines what binding just changed. So let's see this guy in action. I'll go ahead and click start. Let it launch our Excel document. And here we are, we've got our pieces here. Now notice that I've got the name ranges set up here. So you see first name, if I select last name, I have last name, company, and company. So we'll first create the bindings. So I'll click on that and all my bindings have now been created. So we're in good shape. The next thing that I wanna do is I wanna go set the binding. So when I click this, I should see values show up in those three cells. And sure enough, I do. Now let's go through and let's register some handlers. So first, before I do that, if I change one of these values, watch that nothing will change down here in the notification. So if I enter, nothing changed down here. There was no handler listening for changes. But if I turn that on by clicking register the binding handlers, if I now come over here to this one and I say, put my last name in here and hit enter, you'll see the notification changed at the bottom saying it just got a notification the last name field changed. If I change the last one, you see the last one changed. So you can see it's very easy to set up handlers to listen for changes inside of your bindings. Now let's take a look at some of the changes that were introduced with Excel 2016 for add-ins. Microsoft made a lot of changes with office.js. So all of the existing stuff that we've talked about so far is still present and works the exact same way. But they've added in a bunch of additional things to office.js. The original release to office.js was very async focused. This made it somewhat challenging to do batch operations, and it was also very transactional when you wanted to interact with a document. A new API is much more similar to what we have with like the CSOM API, where we can batch up operations and send them across. All the actions that target an Excel document start by using the client requested context returned by excel.requestContext method. The client request context serves two major roles. It contains a queue of commands that will be performed on the contents of an Excel document, and it provides the bridge between an Office add-in and Excel app application, since they run in two different processes. The JavaScript runs in the user's browser with the task pane, and Excel runs in a different process, and in the case of Excel Online, on a remote server cluster. The Excel JavaScript objects created by in the add-ins are local proxy objects. Invoking methods and setting property queues set the commands in JavaScript, but it does not submit them until the execute async function is called. Execute async submits the request queue to Excel and returns a promise object, which can be used for chaining further commands. Execute async runs each command in the order in which they were added to the queue. A best practice is to group related commands into a single execute async call. The load method specifies which collections, objects, and properties will be loaded into the object model. You can use the client request context to specify the load options and the object to load. There are two options for using the load method. You can use the selected option to load properties that are primitive types. You can either use a string or an object literal to specify which properties to load. For instance, if you're going to make a simple load statement, you don't need to create an object literal to specify the property. You can also use the expand option to load properties that are nested within Excel API documents, objects, and collections. Using the range from the previous examples, we can load the paragraph collection or workbook collection and the font object for the range of specifying objects in the expand option. We identify which properties are returned in the select statement. This is a code snippet showing you how to work with ranges. You can see here that we have a number format that's been set up and a bunch of values. Notice that the number format and values, these are two-dimensional arrays. So we have an array of different cells within. We also have a bunch of formulas that are defined. I'm then getting a reference to a range by calling the context.workbook.worksheets.getItem, passing in the worksheet name that I want to work with and the address of the range. Then I'm going to set the number format for the range equal to the array that I've defined. I'll set the values equal to the range that I've defined and the formula equal to the range that I've defined. Then I'm going to call range.load and then execute async. And when that's complete, I'll write out the text of the range. I want to leave you with some related documentation. On MSDN, you'll find an article on how to format tables for add-ins with Excel, also an overview page for Excel add-ins, and the API for JavaScript for Office. In addition, you can find a bunch of add-in samples for Office if you go to dev.office.com/codesamples and add the filter of Office add-ins. In this module, we did an introduction to Excel add-ins. We talked about developing Excel add-ins and reading and writing with documents. We talked about document bindings, and then we went over some of the changes with Excel 2016. Microsoft offers multiple ways to get in touch with them and also to stay up to date on what's going on. One of the things is the Developer Program Watch. What the Developer Program is all about is allowing you to sign up and get email newsletters, free developer subscription to Office 365, which will give you a 1 year free to a Office 365 tenant, free training, free tools, and free webinars that they'll publish on a periodic basis. Using this developer program, you'll be able to stay in touch and up to date with all the latest and greatest offers and news and updates coming out of Office 365 and Office development. You can sign up for it at dev.office.com/devprogram. The Office team also provides multiple ways for you to sign up and to stay in touch with what's going on. From the Office 365 network and Yammer, to staying in touch on Twitter using the Office Dev handle, you can also ask questions on Stack Overflow using the tag ms-office. We have multiple podcasts as well. If you go to dev.office.com to sign up for different podcasts, such as the Office 365 Developer Podcasts. In Channel 9, there's a developer show as well, the Office 365 Developer Show, that comes out on a weekly basis. You can also find out about a bunch of different tiny little quick snack demos of quick demos. You can find those at YouTube if you go to aka.ms/0365devsnackdemos. And then finally, do you have feedback for the team? Do you have ideas for new features? Do you have changes that you'd like to see implemented? Submit them on User Voice by going to officespdev.uservoice.com, where you can submit your ideas, and then you can also vote on other people's ideas and provide comments to the team. The engineering team looks at these issues on a periodic basis and a regular periodic basis and triages them to look to improve them and add things to the product going forward. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes of your time to watch this screencast.